Back when the Vietnam War was raging, one of the young reporters covering it was Morley Safer. A lot of people considered him one of the best TV journalists working in Vietnam. Morley Safer died yesterday at the age of 84. Most people know him for his decades at 60 Minutes. Peter Herford worked with him there, and before that, in Vietnam, where Herford was a CBS Saigon bureau chief.
Those were the days without satellites. Those were the days without cable television and all the competition that exists today. You never got to see what you had shot. All you got was the feedback after the stuff had been on air. 5 o'clock in the afternoon was the end of our normal workday. That's when the last flight left Tansanot Air Base with the film. Nothing was possible after that. You could go cover a story, but there was no way to get it out. And that gave us luxuries. That gave us time to think about what we had done the day before, talk about it, chew it over, make plans for the next day, the next week, what have you, the kinds of things that reporters today simply do not have.
So you were Saigon bureau chief in 1967 and 68. Safer had already covered a story that many people agree really forever changed how Americans saw the war and the military, really. I'm talking about Safer's reporting of the torching of the Vietnamese village of Cam Ne. Let's listen to audio of the CBS News clip. Safer is in this village with the Marines, literally lying in the dirt with them, and with his Vietnamese cameraman, Ha Thuc Khan.
It first appeared that the Marines had been sniped at and that a few houses were made to pay. Shortly after, an officer told me he had orders to go in and level the string of hamlets that surrounds Cam Ne village. The day's operation burned down 150 houses, wounded 3 women, killed 1 baby, wounded 1 Marine, and netted these 4 prisoners. 4 old men who could not answer questions put to them in English. 4 old men who had no idea what an ID card was.
Peter Herford, how did that piece of reporting change history?
It hit like an explosion because there was a completely different image of what was going on in Vietnam and the U.S. relationship to it. We were at the stage where we had so-called advisors. And I think a lot of people made the assumption that I did too at one point. We were there to do good. We were there to do the right thing. American soldiers are always good guys. They don't do bad things. And here were images of American soldiers doing some very, very bad things. This was the first time that was brought home. The impact was huge, absolutely huge.
What can you tell us about Morley Safer's rapport with his Vietnamese cameraman, Ha Thuc Khan?
Well, the relationship between a correspondent and his crew is a marriage. And in this case, the marriage between Ha Thuc Khan and Morley was probably better than 99% of the good marriages that any one of us can think of. I guess police work this way, too, when you're in a team of two. You have each other's backs. Ha Thuc Khan and Morley, after a while, never had to talk to each other. There was never the situation of Morley acting as the director or Ha Thuc Khan acting as the director, saying, you know, I need this, go there, so forth and so on. They simply knew each other's moves so intimately that it was a fantastic team operation.
You sent Morley Safer and Ha Thuc Khan out in the field so many times. Are there any days you remember in particular?
I remember one day, it was a Sunday, New York always wanted combat. And so to level the playing field, we rotated that duty among the 5 correspondents. And it was Morley's day for it. It was a Sunday. I came into the office very, very early. He followed. He was gathering his things. And as he got his things together, in this case, he was meeting Ha Thuc Khan later, he started to walk out of the office and suddenly turned around, took a step back toward me, looked at me and said, I'm scared, and turned around and left. I had never heard that out of any other correspondent, and he was the only one I could think of who had the humanity to let down the barrier and admit something that all of them lived with.
You know, given that Morley Safer, you call him a Renaissance man, I mean, he was also just so gifted with words and a huge curiosity. And I think of words and the ability to spread, you know, kind of like spread your wings. Today, we talk about Twitter and 140 characters and what you can say in that. What did Safer think about the whole social media thing?
He was an adaptive person. He did what he had to do. He was not active on social networks, but he wouldn't have been in any case because that was not his character. Writing was the be-all and end-all of everything at CBS News. Yes, we produced images, but the most important thing for any reporter at CBS News to advance their career was the quality of their writing. And Morley was among the best. He was a Canadian, lest it be forgotten. His worldview was already expansive by the time he came to CBS, and he looked at the world in a very different way than an American correspondent would who had a completely different background and training.
Who's the Morley Safer today, like some young upstart?
There isn't one. There can't be. You can't do what Morley did with what's going on today. The craft itself has so fundamentally changed. The pressures of what a reporter today, no matter who he or she is working for, is under, makes it impossible.
Peter Herford, former colleague of Morley Safer and a friend of his, thank you very much for your thoughts.
My pleasure.